And this morning, right now, we're going to welcome in our representative in this part of Connecticut in governing 64th District, our representative Maria Horn, and we will go over a comprehensive COVID-19 update, as Maria has been posting on Facebook and on the internet, keeping us all informed about what's going on in our region, especially over the past week and a half to 2 weeks. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Marshall.
So it's been an interesting couple of weeks. I guess the way I encapsulate it now when I talk to people when they ask me about it is Mark Herkoff from the Sharon Hospital put it best when he said, our first exposure to COVID-19 in this area was from the outside in, and now we are experiencing it from the inside out.
Yeah, and that's what is happening at all these institutions in our area, and of course statewide, is exactly, is just consistent and increased levels of monitoring, which is, I think, what we are trying to focus on now, because, the rules for testing, or the availability of testing is shifting. The rules for who has to be quarantined, the CDC has recently changed those rules, so a lot of shifting pieces at the moment as they try to keep track of where things are coming from.
And it, of course, affects people that own businesses, that operate businesses, people that go into businesses, but also the school districts, not only here in Region 1, but in other places throughout mm-hmm. Litchfield County. At Gear Village has had their first incident. And it's interesting, a woman called me who was someone who worked at Gear and was in the hospital, Charlotte Hungerford. And she was really the night I spoke to her, she finally started getting better. They were going to put her on a ventilator, but she is now fine. She's been taken out of the intensive care. She didn't have to go on a ventilator, but she really thought she was going to die. And when you speak to somebody like that, and then you see where it's affecting all throughout here, it's pretty amazing. And you are keeping abreast of the situation with the updates, and there's lots of them, like I said, not only from Region 1, but other school districts as well, and places in Litchfield County. So as you look at it right now with your last update and gathering of information, where do things stand?
So, I want to also just commend the incredible hard work at our local public schools in the region. I have had long conversations this weekend, in particular, with both Lisa Carter at Region 1 and Chris Leone in Region 6. And they are working really hard, and the level of their communication is really good. And they're walking that. So, as you mentioned, there was a positive test of a student in Region 6. And, immediately they had to he had to quantify exactly who had to be quarantined and sent home. And I spoke to a group of parents who, they want their kids to continue at school. On the other hand, they're very concerned. I mean, you hear both things out of people at the same time. They want to protect their kids and they want their kids in school. And so having, good communication and between these various communities and with parents is really important, because everybody is walking a really fine line here. And I think, Lisa Carter put a lot of this in her recent communication about how every time there's a new test, people's anxieties go up. And everybody is trying to share as much information as possible, but there are also serious privacy concerns here. So I think it's important to keep emphasizing, the system. We have a very careful system, to your point, that this is not, we have learned so much about COVID and people's treatments are better and the lethality of it is less, but it is still very scary and it can affect people very differently. And so, making sure every one of these letters concludes with continue to wear a mask, socially distance, wash your hands with frequency. So, keeping up the really basic things can help protect us, I think.
What's interesting about this is that when Region 1 finds out about this information, they very quickly process the information, get it out to parents and students, get it out to the media as well. And I think that, during the summer, there were so many different meetings of so many different committees in Region 1 alone. Can't talk about everybody else, but it had to be the same way, of plans and contingency plans upon contingency plans. And to me, it looks like those plans are working really well, and the region is being so transparent and open. And I know people get a little excited and a little upset when they hear about a COVID case, but I think that if the region didn't put out this information the way they're putting it out, and it went around the back door, around the rumor mill, it would be far worse. So I just think the region is doing an amazing job.
I completely agree with you there. It is a very fine line to walk, and again, I have had conversations with parents in which they express both, I'm concerned about my kids contracting COVID. I'm also concerned about my kid who now has to study remotely. On the other hand, I really commend the information I'm getting from the school and support for the school for how they're handling it.
And once again, you put out information on social media, really, I think probably 3 or 4 times a day from what I've seen, if people want to follow it on your Facebook page and more, because it's just a situation that that changes every, it seems like, 6 to 12 hours.
It is, and it is, and again, these communities are, the school districts are communicating really well with their parents, I think. But these even if you don't have kids in school, maybe you work with a parent of a child at a school in the district, and so these communities all they interact with one another. We're related, and so getting this excellent communication that's happening within the school community out to the broader community, I think, is very important too. And that is something that's definitely I am seeing happening, particularly coming out of that the Zoom meeting we had last weekend. Of those groups sharing information about who's working where and who's got kids in which school, and just to try to make sure that we make connections quickly and save time.
I was going to say that meeting that you set up with affected towns and with the businesses and with the schools and the medical facilities and the Sharon Hospital, I think it was the final piece of the puzzle that needed to be put in effect, where you have everything from private schools to public schools to hospitals to nursing communities to retirement communities all working together to get the information out so everybody's aware of what's going on. I just think that was a stroke of genius and just the final thing that needed to be done.
Well, thanks. I mean, these are good people. And one other group that you mentioned in here that doesn't often get mentioned are towns.
Yeah.
The selectmen on that call are all communicating with their towns, but I know that they are particularly concerned about the election. So, you may notice some of the protocols at town hall getting even stricter than they were before, because all of these towns are very concerned that they want to make sure that they protect the health and safety of, the critical people who are, the registrars, town clerks, who are running our election. So that's also a thought on people's minds.
All right, Maria. Well, once again, we'll obviously be speaking to you in the near future again, but thanks for all the hard work. I know it's been a really weird election season, but thank you for putting all the hard work in, setting up these meetings and keeping us informed along with everybody else. You stay healthy yourself, okay?
Thank you, Marshall. Same to you. Really, thank you for all the incredible communication that you put out there. It's tremendously helpful to people.
All right. Thanks, Maria. Take care.
Thanks, Marshall.
Maria Horn, our representative in the 64th District here in Connecticut.